a long distance dedication going out to our friend Ron from Milford.
Hey, slow that down.
Slow that down. Keep turning that up. Either way, if you just tuned in, we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
That would make us the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444.
We have a very special, important announcement from Terry.
Have you ever wondered what WAIF and H.G. Wells have in common? The time machine, of course. Tune in every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. when your host brings back those golden days of rhythm and blues. Join Steve Percy and hear the biggest hits and obscure songs that have the great group harmony since 1979.
Tonight's edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is brought to you in part by the movies repertory on Ray Street downtown, featuring independent foreign and underground films 7 days a week. Call 381-FILMS for details and showtimes. 381-FILM. Midnight movie this week. Let's see what the midnight movie's going to be. Oh, they're going to have a great... They always have really good midnight movies down there. Last week it was Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And this week...
You could have done this before the show.
I could have done a little show.
No, you had to dig up your Deep Purple album instead.
And you don't want to play it at the wrong speed.
You're the... Well, it sounded a lot better that way.
Let's see here.
I've never been more embarrassed in my life.
Kiss my butt. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So this weekend you can catch the midnight movie at the Movies Repertoire downtown on Ray Street with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I think the live cast of The Denton Affair is going to be there throwing rice at the screen.
Have you been a victim of crime? Did you know that Ohio has a compensation program for victims? If you or anyone you know has been the victim of a crime, call the toll-free victims hotline, 1-800-824-8263. And do not hesitate to call the drug and poison information hotline, 558-5111. They will answer questions about the hazards of products and exposures to chemicals.
Terry Endres from the Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge is with us tonight discussing various phenomena that have been going on, and one of the things we were talking about in the first hour was these mysterious sightings of UFOs that were made in the deserts of Arizona on the night of March 13th, 1997. With us right now is Mike Fortson from Phoenix, Arizona. Hello, Mike.
Good evening.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. We talked to a guy named Bill Hamilton about 20 minutes ago who saw the same thing that you did. Or maybe he didn't.
No.
What did you see on March 13th, Mike?
Well, our sighting was at 8:30 p.m. that evening. I was going to bed, and as I closed my bedroom window, which faces to the west, I was immediately attracted to three real bright lights to the north. And my initial reaction was a plane was crashing out of Sky Harbor. And we're about 23 miles east-southeast of Sky Harbor. And I
Sky Harbor is the name of your airport in Phoenix,
that's
right?
Phoenix, that's the main airport. I live in Chandler, which is in the East Valley.
Okay.
I'm in the East Valley. But nonetheless, I ran through the hallway and grabbed my glasses, and I told my wife to get outside right now. By the time we were at the end of the patio, looking to the north, expecting to see a plane crash, this thing had leveled off. And what I had seen, or what I could see, was what I call a giant black triangle. If you would take your left hand and make a peace sign, a 1960s peace sign, and turn your arm horizontal, then raise it up above your eyes, that's basically what I saw pass before me, was the side view of this black, what I call, triangle.
Well, what Bill said he saw were like bright orbs, balls of light, that seemed to be moving in formation.
Bill was with the photographer by the name of Tom King, and they were on South Mountain, I believe, looking to the southwest over the Estrella Mountains. This was at 10:45 that evening, and I want to remind you what I saw was at 8:30.
So you guys quite possibly saw two very different individual things.
Well, there was close to five, actually. There was the red orbs above Luke Air Force Base, which could be a part of the triangle, and there's more. There really is. There's a lot more to this. It was quite a spectacular evening.
Well, there's more. Go into it. We got all night here. We'll the next show, we'll put them off for a while.
I didn't hear that.
Either way, if you got more to tell us, keep telling us about it.
Oh, okay.
You said there's more.
I do. Believe me, I do. As we saw this triangle, and my immediate reaction was the length of the craft. As the moon was in the western sky, and it was about 45 degrees off the horizon, it was a real bright white quarter moon, and we could see the craft as it came from the north to the south all the way across our horizon as we were looking to the west. there was a 737 that passed over the top of it. It was going from the west to the east, and then it was circling around and going into Phoenix Airport. It did not deviate its course whatsoever. It couldn't see it. Not instruments, not radar, the pilot, nobody. The pilot did radio and ask what the lights were. And Sky Harbor radar, or their control tower, said they did not know. Nobody in any radar installation knew whatsoever there was anything like this in the skies for about 3 hours that evening. And we saw it as the way I got my length and everything, and I've told people I filed my first report with MUFON on Saturday, the 15th.
MUFON is the Mutual UFO Network.
That's correct. Well, what happened was it came on the news about the lights the next day, and my wife and I, we really didn't know what we had seen because it was just so mind-boggling. And then we noticed that other people had seen it. But there was no noise with this. It was such a huge craft, no noise, 30 miles an hour, about 1,500 feet off the ground.
Well, Bill said what he saw was silent, too, and that it had lights, but it didn't illuminate anything.
Well, see, and that was it. It was kind of hovering. That video has them kind of hovering. And that's been the puzzling video, to be honest with you. I've been in on many town meetings on this, and believe me, a lot of radio and TV. That video is a mystery. Just like the red orbs over Luke, and Luke even says, well, we didn't launch any planes on the 13th. In fact, the truck driver says they did, and now some 100 days later, they say, well, we had 3 planes in the air, but it was a training exercise. There's been a lot of changed stories from people who are trying to debunk this and throw water on it, so to speak.
Well, don't you think that it's the responsibility of all of us to keep an open mind and to also be just a little skeptical?
Well, absolutely, and I was before the 13th of March, believe me. What I saw was quite phenomenal. This craft was at least a mile long. As it passed into the moon from us, I live exactly a half mile south of a main intersection, and I could look to the north, and this craft was well beyond it. And due to the horizon, see, this is what makes it good. I told you I saw it from the side. The horizon at 8:30 that night to the western sky was a little lighter than if you were to look straight up. Most of the witnesses had it passed right over their heads. We had the advantage of not only a lighter horizon to the west, but also the moon. And it was quite huge. I mean, it left quite an imprint in your mind. It really did.
Well, the skeptic in me wants to ask you,
sure.
Well, first of all, the skeptic in me says that if as many people as have been reported having seen it, which is hundreds, maybe thousands, you weren't all having the same hallucination. But the skeptic in me wants to say, well, what is it that you did see? Was it something military, something from the nearby military base? They're denying it. Or was it some other phenomena that we haven't delved into yet?
Well, I think the latter of what you just said, and I've been approached with just about every explanation. It could be from hot fire balloons to a laser hologram to flares are ridiculous. Flares is one of the main debunkers of this because of the characteristics of the flare is not like these lights. And I've learned that. I personally, do you want to know what I personally feel this was?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's speculate.
I saw this, and I've really had time to think about this. I truly do not call it a UFO any longer in my mind, and I really don't. And the reason for it is I feel it's identified. It's not being investigated by anybody in the government or the military, obviously. They claim they could care less. But something this big and this huge, I feel is more or less like an identified alien object. And they knew what it was. They may not be able to control it, but it came right down through the East Valley, through the Sky Harbor Air Corridor, unbeknownst to the airport or air traffic. It was in a restricted airspace. It was totally huge. It's going 30 miles an hour. There's no noise whatsoever to it. I'm sorry, but and this may sound crazy, but this was the alien object.
So in your mind, this UFO sighting was of extraterrestrial origin?
I believe so. My personal feeling is this was a friendly visit. Yeah.
Terry, you're our professional here. You're our professional UFO investigator.
I don't get paid for this. That doesn't,
Well, so what's your take on it, Terry?
Well, not being there to see this thing, I can only go by all the stuff that I've either seen on the news, gotten through email, whatever. All of this sounds very interesting. I'm hearing more details through this show than I've actually gotten through any other,
That's because the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is fully comprehensive.
Absolutely. It's an encyclopedia of UFO knowledge tonight.
Right on.
But you know, I'm you know, as I sit here listening, more and more of the details make this an intriguing case. And really, I guess it demands closer inspection. It's, you know, a lot easy for, it's very easy to sit, you know, 1,500 miles from your destination and spin all kinds of explanations, but not actually being there to talk to witnesses makes a big difference. And everything I hear tonight sounds really peculiar.
So, Michael, you're saying that before March 13th, you didn't believe in Roswell. You didn't believe in the X-Files. You didn't believe in Martians and visitors from outer space.
Well,
but your experience of March 13th, you did a 180 and you've converted?
No, I wouldn't. That is not really true to say that, no. I'm 44 years old. I've always looked up in the skies and just been amazed and wanted something to move. I always figured if I ever got to see something, it'd be a little tiny flying saucer zipping around the sky doing 90-degree turns and turning blue and red. I had no wildest imagination whatsoever that I would see anything like this, as massive as it is. I always thought that it was open. I'm pretty much with the Big Bang Theory, you know, 16 billion years ago, our sun's 4 billion years old, and they had 12 billion years ahead of us to develop. That's possible, but it's so far away to think interplanetary-type travel. I've really thought about this a lot in the last 3 months, matter of fact, on a daily basis, if not hourly.
Well, there's something I want to ask you, Michael.
Go ahead.
And I asked this same question to Bill Hamilton when we talked to him 20 minutes ago.
I know, Bill.
If the sightings were originally made on March 13th, and maybe a little local news carried it, I heard that Dan Rather carried it once, how come it didn't make major national news if it was this big, this amazing to see, and if this many people saw it? If that many people saw it, why didn't it hit the news until last week?
You want to know what I feel?
I just asked you.
Everybody was afraid to write about it because it's such a voodoo-type topic that if somebody national really would to get into this and listen to the witnesses and say, hey, wait a minute, something happened here, and actually physically write about it, that it's more of a reputation thing at stake, I think, because everybody was afraid. City Councilwoman Barwood was the very first political, I guess, elected official to ever even question the idea and bring up the idea of an investigation. You know, what was this that thousands of Arizona citizens seen? And everybody made fun of her, as you well know. I did a CBS morning show with her Thursday, and she's quite a lady. She really is. And it's pretty gutsy to do what she's doing, but I think she knows that something's going on, and it was quite intriguing. If I was not closing a window, I would have never seen it because, like I said, it was totally quiet. You would not have participated in this if you were not looking up. You would not have seen it.
Do you think USA Today did you guys justice with that article they did last week?
Absolutely. That was a very bold move. It was very accurate. I've been a part of, I think, 4 town meetings now at Village Labs. I know all these people. I've met them since March 13th. We've done, you know, a variety of interviews and shows, but it really hit the fan Wednesday afternoon. I mean, my phone's been ringing. I've even got calls from London, England, a TV station. I mean, it's crazy. Everybody wants to know about this. I'm as disappointed, and so is everybody, as well as you were, about having to wait 90 days to hear about this. It was all over the internet, and you can access all the pages, basically through Art Bell's webpage. He carries it, and there's a lot of Phoenix sites here.
Well, now that this has happened, do you think if it happens again somewhere else, or maybe even in the same place, that it'll get more national attention more quickly?
It is happening. It's happening all over the world. 2 weeks after the Phoenix sightings, the Black Triangles were in Australia. There's reports of them even in Ohio. I talked about this. Did I talk with you last week?
No, you did not.
Okay.
You've been on so many talk shows, they're probably all blurring together.
You're in Cincinnati, correct?
Yep.
Okay, it was another Cincinnati channel, I'm sure. And you even had a triangle sighting in Ohio just maybe a month or so ago.
Well, here's our local UFO investigator, Terry Enders, to tell us about the local sighting and what it has in common with the one you had 3 months ago.
Yeah, we can't really validate the sighting of the triangle here. We have had a cluster of sightings of flares launched by the Air National Guard around here over restricted airspace as part of training exercises. We do have one or two claims of a triangular-shaped object, but so far we haven't been able to support any of that with independent testimony. But as I said, you know, what I'm hearing tonight is really kind of interesting. And so long as, you know, the investigators there have done their homework and they've covered all the bases and looked into all the possible explanations, bar none, you know, it sounds like you've got a pretty interesting set of situations there.
Well, the thing that intrigues me the most is, like you said, it's finally coming out 3 months later, and it's kind of disappointing to this fact, but at least it's making waves and coming through.
Well, I suspect some of the hoopla over this, over your Arizona sightings, granted they're interesting in their own right, but with the onset of the 50th anniversary of Roswell, it also becomes a wonderful way of boosting your circulation.
And that's fine, but still, for some reason, and the sightings continue, not as dramatic as March 13th,
mm-hmm.
But I would say there's probably been a good dozen sightings since then. Not by myself at all. I've only seen the one, and that was enough. That was the mega Kodak moment, believe
mm-hmm.
me.
are you guys concerned at all about any kind of bandwagon effect that this might create, though? I mean, granted, you may have some really interesting sightings there, but are you guys being real careful about the information you're taking in beyond that? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people that are going to see airplanes in the sky, and simply because of all these other sightings, are going to make...
Well, we had that missile takeoff last night from Southern California, which caused a bit of a stir, but the communications actually in Phoenix is pretty good. You mm-hmm. can turn on to an AM station in Phoenix, and we had an answer in 10 minutes. It's just like they had a weather balloon about 6-8 weeks ago, and it was like at 70,000 feet, and it was 400 feet in diameter, mm-hmm. NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And it created quite a stir, too, but the answer was solved real quick. And
right.
if you look through binoculars, I mean, it did not cause hysteria like a lot of the mm-hmm. Debunkers are doing. You know, they're saying thousands of people called in, and it's just hysteria, and that's just not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we had a similar situation up here last summer in Middletown, Ohio, roughly centrally located in Ohio. There were a series of sightings around
July. But we debunked
July.
That we, right here on the program,
we
didn't
talked
we?
About that. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
You know,
we debunked that one.
He's talking about the debunkers and kind of yapping they do. In the middle of this, even though we found out it was a hoax, there were debunkers that were saying this was like mass hysteria, and it was nothing of the sort. These people were
right.
really seeing
well,
things.
They get paid to say that.
Exactly. But here's the interesting thing. The Associated Press carried an article quoting one of these debunkers, and of course, we went up there and actually talked to witnesses, and we didn't run into this guy. So clearly, he didn't leave his living room to make his conclusion. And
no,
that really, you know, kind of aggravates
us.
The
thing in Middletown, don't let these guys feed
it's
you a
flares.
Load of crap,
That's all
Mike.
It was.
Was this guy in Middletown sometimes went to Star Trek conventions, and so guys like Chris
and
guys
dressed up like a Klingon
and guys like Chris and Terry, who get picked on almost daily in their everyday life, they get bullied when they go to the grocery store, they get people cut in front of them in line at the grocery, these guys are picked on constantly for being UFO guys. They make fun of the Star Trek guys. So they jumped to the conclusion that because he wore a Klingon outfit to a Star Trek convention once, that he was immediately a fruitcake, a nut job, and you couldn't take him seriously. You would think that people who are discriminated against each and every day of their life would have a little bit more of an open mind. I was sorely disappointed in both Chris and Terry and their closed-minded approach to their fellow Earthlings known as Trekkers.
Hey, he made telepathic contact with a hot air balloon.
Didn't somebody actually admit that? Tying a flare to a helium balloon.
Absolutely.
I gotta admit, you guys run the funnest show.
No, that was me. I did that. Okay, I admitted to it. Okay, I did it. No, I did. Okay, I admitted it. I did it. I admitted it.
Some punk in Middletown did.
Hey, this guy wants some information.
Okay, feed him.
Anyway, from July 4th, 5th, and 6th, dozens of folks in Middletown saw this bright red light slowly crossing the city. It rained a couple days, nobody saw anything. By the 11th, it was seen again. This time, however, a private pilot was coming into Cook Field there in Middletown. He was instructed to fly by it, which clearly indicated that the air traffic control didn't see it as a threatening object. And he made a close pass, and here it was, just a road flare attached to some gas-filled bags or balloons. And end of story. But there are a lot of people up there who want to cling on to the whole idea.
I get
of
a Klingon.
I have a co-host that's a gas-filled balloon.
Who wants to hang on to this, and we'll ignore, you know, contrary evidence just to hold on to having an, you know, a UFO to talk about.
Hey, listen, if anyone out there who's tuned in tonight wants to talk to Mike Fortson, a legitimate eyewitness to a UFO sighting, you can call the Secret Celebrity Hotline at 961-8900, and we can try to hook you up.
Absolutely.
Positively.
Oh,
without a doubt.
What else do you have to tell us about this thing, Mike, or are we wrapping it up here?
Well, I can tell you that if you see the video of the lights over Phoenix, to keep in mind that happened at 10:45, very far west of us. I would say maybe 25, 30 miles.
Now, is this information posted on the web, and would you actually have some of the web addresses?
You can get the National UFO Reporting Center's report that was written right afterwards, probably 2 weeks into it,
mm-hmm.
Still in March. You have access to that.
Right.
You can go to UFO Folklore, which covers the Arizona sightings and mm-hmm. Tom King's photos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't work for these guys, and I'm not paid. I am Joe Witness, okay? I don't belong to any organizations, but I just have... I have access to these people because I know them.
Yeah, but for the sake...
There's a lot of information out there.
Yeah.
But they don't really get into the time as much as far as the type of objects because a lot of this is new information just put together.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one that went to these meetings originally and saw a craft that claimed it was a mile long, and it kind of blew them away a little bit. Then they found some new witnesses here. A few weeks ago, these guys were taking a break, and they're 4 miles directly west of me.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard about this, and they reported it, and they just didn't know who to talk to or what to see, but... The size, the time, the angle, the heights, and all that pretty much corroborated my story,
mm-hmm.
and Village Labs was quite pleased with that. Mm-hmm. Anytime you get eyewitness testimony where it's somewhat verified, mm-hmm. it helps.
Oh, absolutely.
I went up against one of these debunkers in New York City with CBS Radio. I mean, he told everybody he's a retired Air Force pilot. He had two observatories that he owned. And that he saw through a telescope that these were indeed flares. But this man, as a military officer, would not go into the characteristics of a flare, which I did. I mean, the burning properties of a flare. When mm-hmm. you're talking about flares up there, if you look in the center of that flare, that burns your eye. It's like mm-hmm. a welder's arc.
Sure.
These lights attached to this craft, or whatever it was, were basically soft lights. These lights were not illuminating lights. These were just lights.
Mm-hmm. Mike Fortson, believe it or not, we have a call for you. This is Dave. Hello, Dave. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
And Mike, can you still hear us?
I can hear you. Hello, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Was there ever actually a point where it took off completely and everyone stopped seeing it?
What it did, it stayed at the same speed and the same height all the way from north to south until it exactly just blended in with the night sky to the south. It never sped up or slowed down. The video you saw on TV that was at 10:30, it looked like they just hovered, because if you fix on a point of light below these, you can see that the tape is running because of the activity below, but the lights themselves are not moving. And one of my theories is on that, as these lights, instead of these lights are going out, if you put your left hand out flat and just basically slowly turn it to the left, as this thing is, what's happening maybe is that instead of these lights going out one by one, they're actually just, you can't see them because the angle's bad now, and the craft is actually turning. And that's just a theory, it's a possibility, we don't know.
So once it got dark, it just...
I didn't hear you?
So once night fell, it got dark, you just couldn't see it anymore?
Well, it was 8:30 when it happened here on our sighting, and it was already dark. If you look straight up to the east or any direction other than the western horizon, it was dark. The moon was in the western horizon, and if you look at the western horizon right after sunset, it's still a little bit lighter. It's almost like 2 hours before sunrise. You can see a little bit of light, and it helped us identify what we call a solid craft. We did not connect the dots or anything like that.
How long were you watching it? How long?
About a minute and a half.
Minute and a half?
About a minute and a half. It was in the light of the moon, probably around 15 seconds, and it was about a minute and a half. We got to see it.
Well, I got one more question. I don't know if you can answer this for me, but I was listening earlier. Somebody mentioned something about this happening about the same time as Hale-Bopp came past.
Hale-Bopp was visible for several months, either in the rising sky or the setting sun. The rising sun or the setting sun. Matter of fact, some days you could watch it both. That was out for several months. However, it did bring a lot of people out. A lot of people, the witnesses, say they were out watching the comet when they did notice the lights. I don't think it has any relevance whatsoever to Hale-Bopp or Heaven's Gate or the story that was put out about the alien craft following Hale-Bopp.
Yeah, they were coming to get us. They were coming to pick up the souls.
It's all coincidence. I think it was a separate incident, and I don't think anybody was supposed to see this. You know, that's why it was so stealth. You know, I mean, nobody, it was on no radar. And a lot of people at 8:30, you know, you're kicking back, you just eat dinner, you're watching TV, you know, I mean, you're not outside looking up.
Terry or Mike or anybody.
I put in a new patio and a spa now. I spend a lot of time out back.
Do we know enough about radar technology between the three or four of us that are talking here to deduce how something that large could not be detected by radar?
Well, you know, in stealth technology, it isn't necessarily the materials, but the actual profile that the aircraft cuts. That's why the delta or the wing shape that we see with the F-117, it's just hard to pick up on radar. It's not exactly invisible to radar. It's just that it cuts such a low profile that it can't
but
be easily detected.
This thing in Arizona was picked up by virtually no radar. Absolutely
the only thing
none.
That really showed up on radar that could have been a possibility of some of this was on a Navy satellite called a GOES-9, GOES-9. And it's a weather satellite that actually sends pictures of individual areas throughout the United States. And you can tap into this and go to the West Coast or whatever. And right after these sightings, there was a bunch of stuff as to blips being seen on this. Computer blips is what they wrote it off as. And then they wiped the entire web page out that you don't have access to it for a while. But there's a lot of weird things out here. And believe me, if they're really too strange, believe me, they get covered up. And then they have people out there that throw water on it and diffuse it and try to really just make the public forget about it.
Dave, did we take care of you?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, hey, where are you calling from, Dave?
Clifton.
You've never seen a UFO, have you?
No, but I have a friend who did.
Well, everybody's got a friend who did.
Yeah, sure.
Keep on looking up, all right?
Thank you.
All right, Dave. Mike, I'd like to thank you for taking your time out of your busy, hectic schedule to talk to the Chris and Rob.
Well, that's my
late
pleasure.
Talk
anytime.
Show.
I do not mind telling people what I saw at all.
Well, we'll keep in touch. If something else comes up, I'll give you a call back, and maybe we'll do it again.
Will do.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Terry Andrus is here, and the phone number is 749-1444. We're taking your calls until 2 o'clock when the B-Boys Underground gets here. Maybe we just won't let them on tonight, and we'll just talk about this all night long.
On a little trip, my supersonic ship's at your disposal if you feel so inclined. Well, all right. We're gonna travel faster than light, so do up your overcoat tight, and we'll go anywhere you want to decide. Well, all right. Rocket ship, nobody has to be hemp, nobody needs to be out of sight.
Oh, out of sight, man, come on.
Nobody's gonna travel second class, there'll be equality and no suppression of minorities. supersonic ships at your disposal if you feel so inclined. Alright. Nobody gonna travel second class. There'll be equality and no suppression of minorities. On a little trip.
Get down. Get down with your bad self. It's a Chris and Rob late night talk show. The phone number is 749-1444. In the Heat House tonight, we have Terry Endress. He's a professional UFO skeptic, a professional UFO sleuth, an all-around nice guy. A little graying on the side.
And I'd like to point out, Chris, that you are always kissing the ass of these professional skeptics and cynics that go around throwing water on UFO siders and other people like that.
Well, one of the interesting things that I've been discussing with Terry here during the break is, you know that the government came out today, the Air Force came out today with a new report on Roswell. 50 years ago, supposedly, this UFO crashed, and the government supposedly has these dead alien bodies in Hangar 18 or Hangar 19 or Hangar what?
You pick a number. It'll work.
And they got this Area 51 and everything, and today they come out with this new 231-page report called Case Closed, denying that anything ever happened at Roswell of an extraterrestrial nature. And Terry is one of the skeptics who says, nah, maybe something really did happen at Roswell. I've done a little reading on the thing, and I'll tell you, it sounds fairly far-fetched to me. But Terry says, no, something really did happen at Roswell. We're going to get to the bottom of that after we talk to our good friends, Nan and Christy. Hello, Nan.
Please, we'd like to be known tonight as Galactica and Interplanet Janet. I'm a galaxy girl, you know.
All right.
We are two friendly space cadets, and we're calling from our triangular-shaped inner officer.
Yes.
This is reminding me a little too much of Barbarella, but that's all right.
You guys are flying in an inner officer?
Yes, and we have
a song. Oh, gee. Is that a classic model?
Well, it's kind of antique. I had a hard time landing.
All right, what the hell's an inner officer?
We've been working on it, but, you know.
It's a little tough to maneuver on this island Earth, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is, yes, but we try. We do the best we can. Exeter only lets us do so much.
Great. All right, get to the point, you two smart asses.
Well, first we have a little song for you, and then we have two questions. Okay.
All right, what are your questions?
Okay, go ahead. Okay, my question for Terry is, and then Interplanet has a question also.
Okay.
If the Roswell incident was disproven,
mm-hmm,
wouldn't all the Teresa dead presidents disappear?
Aha!
Why not?
I have no idea what that means, but go ahead, Interplanet Janet.
Terry's sharp, so he'll know.
My question is, you know, I'm starting up my own militia now, so I want to be known as Interplanet Janet.
Okay.
And anyway, I want to know if anybody's noticed any of the mutilated deer on the side of the road. You know, you kind of look up and you see one of those planes flying by, and then you look down on the highway, you see this mutilated deer.
They're pretty gross, aren't they?
They really are, you know, and I'm starting my own militia called the Bambi Avengers.
Okay.
And you don't have to bring anything in a covered dish. All you have to do is be ready to tweak some tail. Oh, yeah,
Yeah, these deer look like they were hit by a heavy object, a large heavy object moving at a fast rate of speed.
I think that's just a government cover-up, though.
Well, no, I think I've seen some black semis cruising the highways.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
I have a cute story to tell you about one of those deer.
Okay, make it quick.
America, we're so smart here. The road crew is, what they caved right over one of those
deer. Yeah, that was in Pennsylvania.
Deer.
Happened last summer.
And the antlers were sticking out of the highway.
That was great. I loved that.
Well, did you get our
local
postcard
color
from Earth?
No.
No, we
didn't get a postcard yet.
I've been looking all over for it.
No, yet.
Well, we'll try it. Maybe we need more postage from Mars.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.
They should have probably maybe routed that through the middle.
Let me ask you something, Terry,
office.
The professional skeptic.
Yes.
We were talking an hour ago about these black helicopters coming down and mutilating cows. If a black helicopter really is coming down and mutilating a cow, and it has something to do with world domination and the New World Order, what does mutilating a cow have to do with any of that?
I have the slightest
idea. Fill me in.
I guess it's venting your spleen or something.
749-1444 is the phone number of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Hello, Jay.
Hey, what's up, my radio pals?
Well, not much, my radio pal. What's going on?
Not much. Hey, but listen, I know what technology the government has from the aliens.
What's that?
A thermos. Think about it, man. What's a thermos do?
It keeps the hot hot and the cold cold.
Yeah.
How does it know the difference, you
That's
know?
Right, man. And that's got to be some kind of weird alien technology to do that.
Well, how about this technology now where if you go buy a bag of ice at the grocery store, they freeze it, but they freeze it from the inside out, so it locks out the impurities, and it tastes damn good.
Wow, I think you think that's an alien-owned company.
How can that one burger company make their hamburgers so they don't have to flip them?
Probably got the holes in them, I think.
Do you think they got the hole technology to put the pole in the pad of patty of beef from extraterrestrial technology?
That's where the holes from the donuts go.
We're taking it a little too far here, Jay, but I think I follow your logic.
Cool. Anyway, well, that's it. And no, actually, I do kind of believe there are UFOs, but I'm not sure. I mean, with all the universes they have out there, I mean, we can't be the only ones.
What do you mean with all the universes? There's one big, gigantic, humongous universe.
I'm sorry, not universe, galaxy.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of stars out there.
There sure is, man.
And they're not all in Hollywood.
All right, thanks, Jay.
See ya.
See ya.
Well, okay, Terry, okay. Fill us in on Roswell.
All right.
You're not a skeptic. You're not a debunker. You're actually a supporter of the whole Roswell conspiracy theory. To me, it sounds like a bunch of crud.
Okay.
Fill me in.
Well, I guess the problem I'm having is that the Air Force has come up with so many official explanations now, it's hard to keep count of them without a scorecard. The latest thing supposes that there were some sort of crash test dummies that were being used in parachute testing. And, you know, it's kind of ludicrous because those tests didn't start until the 50s. And the Roswell incident happened, of course, in 1947. So basically the Air Force has to ignore tons of testimony in order to make that kind of explanation fit. And that you know, that's kind of goofy. What's the point of doing that? Previous to that, Project Mogul was the favorite, but...
What's Project Mogul?
Project Mogul was a project where an acoustical mic was sent aloft on balloons to try to pick up sounds made by any kind of Soviet tests of atomic bombs. And, of course, it was a dismal failure. They didn't really, pick up anything. But because it was being launched near Roswell... The conclusion, as of 1994, was that what was found by Mac Brazel on the ranch was nothing more than, remains of one.
Mac Brazel was the first guy in Roswell that found something that he thought was
that's
a crashed
correct.
UFO flying saucer.
That's correct.
Now, how about this document that's going around? You can even buy a copy of it at your local bookstore now. It's called the Majestic 12, or the MJ-12 document, which it first surfaced a few years ago, and it was supposed to contain the truth about all the crashed UFOs and alien body autopsies and Hangar 19 and Area 51 and all that, but then it was later found to be a hoax, wasn't it?
Right. There's a truckload of internal inconsistencies in the document, let alone the actual style in which it's written. The details are kind of unimportant, but it does establish that the document itself is of questionable nature. As far as the forger is concerned, that's open to debate, and it may even be a document that was meant to mislead rather than to inform.
So your whole angle on the Roswell thing is that there really was a UFO crash there because the Army has been doing such a bad job of covering it up. But what about the evidence itself? What about the actual UFO? Where is it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, nobody. That's the biggest, of course, weakness to this whole thing.
To me, your argument of, well, it must be so because everyone's denying it so poorly, to me is not a real legitimate argument.
What I'm saying is that something important happened, not necessarily that an extraterrestrial craft crashed there.
Well, if it was something important, why don't they just fess up and say, look, the Cold War was over, we had this incredibly complex military thing, but now it's over, we're done.
You got me. I mean, how does one figure the military
why couldn't this goofy explanation that came out today be true? for instance, Dion Crosby notes that the dummy drops came years after the alleged UFO crash.
Exactly. Well, I mean, doesn't that kind of weaken the explanation that if you're trying to explain the Roswell thing with these dummies and you have to move?
They say they had these fake human bodies at Roswell that look amazingly like UFOs, but that they weren't in use until years after the alleged crash.
What's the point of preferring that kind of explanation for something when it doesn't even fit the timeline?
Could they have not been using them then and we just didn't know about it?
Apparently, the Air Force didn't know about it either because they
can't
place
them before 1950. How many people in this world are really experts on dummies?
Well, I myself am a dummy, so I couldn't answer that. But
hello, Ray, you're on the air.
Hey, Chris, or Rob.
Hey, Ray, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm glad you're out there probing every absurd possibility again.
What's in your mind tonight, Ray?
Oh, I don't know. I wanted to ask Terry if he'd actually ever seen a B-2 bomber flying over.
No. Other than say on a documentary where they showed some of the flyovers.
Well, the thing's pretty awesome. It looks a lot bigger than it actually is when you see it because it can fly so slow and it is completely silent.
Right. Exactly.
I saw one and it was the most surreal thing I had ever seen because it was so silent.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with this because a lot of sightings I think can be attributed to development of new air technology, and I think a lot of people who see triangular objects are probably seeing something of a highly classified nature, not necessarily coming from another planet.
Well, I don't think anything's coming from another planet. I mean, why? For what purpose? They just probe people anally? I mean, what?
Well, you see, you know, when we start speculating like that, we get into trouble because, you know, it's sort of like trying to figure out some whole other sociology. We have no idea how an alien would think, and any kind of question that we ask usually comes from how we think. You know, well, aliens wouldn't do it this way because, well, we wouldn't do it that way, and that really isn't, you know, a reasonable argument against.
Well, do you think that the Earth might be like a weird, out-of-the-way vacation spot?
Who knows, you know? maybe it's the best place.
We got big-time wrestling.
Because the only people who actually tend to have contact with these are drunks out of country.
Well, that's a misconception. That's usually, perpetuated by the mass media, who usually does a disservice to most witnesses. If you do any kind of real analytical study of this, you find that you have a good, decent cross-section of people who make these claims. And it's not just a bunch of backwoodsmen drunk on moonshine.
Hey, Ray, smart aleck. Yeah. Perez de Cuellar, the guy that used to run the UN before Boutros Ghali got in there, he said he seen a UFO in New York City. And he was not drunk, and he was not stoned, and he was not hepped up on any of your so-called white crosses.
Who was that? Who was the head of the UN who was the guy that was from Austria? It turned out to be a Nazi.
That was Waldheim, Kurt Waldheim. Him and Arnold Schwarzenegger's dad were the two biggest Nazis in southern Germany.
So I guess they can add UFO sightings to their portfolio. I don't know. There's some kind of weird hysteria. It's just that, you know, imagine highly technical but kind of unintelligent life. Then that would make sense.
Well, we're talking different technology, maybe, rather than highly technical.
Listen to this, Ray. Let me explain this to you in terms maybe you can understand.
Okay.
You catch a fish. You're out at Mill Creek fishing.
Okay.
And you catch a fish. And you look at it.
I'm going to call the press.
And you kiss it like Bill Dance does. You take the hook out and you throw it back in the lovely crystal clear green waters of the Mill Creek. Do you think that fish has any concept what happened to it? It's just like when we get abducted by aliens. They are so far advanced. We are to them as fish are to us. We don't know what's going on. It is that different, man. It's
so
like we
really
can't even comprehend.
You are eloquent.
It very well could be.
Yeah, well,
you know, because Baywatch is beaming out all over the galaxy, they're coming here.
Really, we have the corner on silicone breath.
We got Yasmin Bleeth.
We have I Love Lucy, too.
You know, it's kind of like...
I was just wondering, like, how many times the lithium clears up this problem.
When you were a kid, right? It's like when you were a kid and you'd go out and catch a bunch of fireflies and put them in a mayonnaise jar.
Yeah.
And if you didn't poke enough holes in the top, fireflies would die.
Yeah.
So...
Well, but even if you did poke the holes, they just died of starvation in a day or two anyway.
Hey, Ray?
Yeah?
If vegetarians are people that only eat vegetables, what are humanitarians?
Oh, people that only eat humans.
I'll let you wonder about that. Talk to you later, Ray. 749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'll tell you what, the B-Boys Underground will be on in 15 minutes, but this week only, because next week they're going to be on Friday night. Friday night at 2 o'clock after the Dubberama.
Who's on after us next week?
Next week will be the Flow. The Flow will be here.
Oh, speaking of the Flow.
I have something to say.
Well, don't say what time it is, because next week they're going to be on this time.
Okay, I won't say what time, but do you want to move? Do you want to groove? Uh-huh. Well, check out the Flow.
Oh, yeah.
At this time next week.
Right on.
For the best groove exercise one can indulge in, Marvin Gaye, the Isley Brothers, and more with a touch of jazz, and some of today's new R&B.
They might even know who the Barquets are.
Why don't you just then light a candle and slide into
soul
the Flow?
For
music
sure.
For your soul right here on Community Radio, WAIF-FM.
Sweet Lou, you're on with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk
Thank
Show.
You. Hi, guys. I was wondering if Terry could tell me if he knew what it was that's lodged up rednecks' butts that is so interesting to aliens.
Who knows? Maybe we're misjudging the rednecks. Who knows? I wish it was just rednecks that were being, you know, making these claims, but it's not. As I said before, when you really take a serious look at the cross-section of reports, it's
well, how about
the rednecks
you know,
are in quite the minority.
Well, the deal is, when you're out in the woods or you're out in the desert like the Arizona people are, you can see lights better. When you're in the big city, you look up in the night sky, you can't see any lights. All you see are the lights from Shea Stadium or Synergy Field or the Crew Tower. You can't see the lights. It may be the unidentified objects, but when you're out in the sticks, well, then you can see all the lights. That's why people who don't live in heavy urban areas are more likely to see these kind of strange lights.
Let me ask you something, Terry, seeing as how
sure.
you are a UFO investigator by mm-hmm. trade, do you have any professional fantasies of maybe yourself being abducted by a UFO and being probed and being poked by alien fingers? And those alien fingers are Rosie Perez and Jenny McCarthy?
Nothing like that, because, you know, I had enough of that when I visited the proctologist last time. So I really don't need to fantasize.
Greater Cincinnati JCs is a young civic group emphasizing leadership training to help your community and meet people. Call 956-7704, 956-7704 for more info. And the Cincinnati Fire Museum, it's located at 315 West Court Street in downtown. Firefighting apparatus and information about early volunteer firefighters of Cincinnati are a permanent exhibit. Hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and noon to 4 p.m. weekends. For more info, 621-5553, 621-5553 for the Cincinnati Fire Museum. We're talking to Terry Endress on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF. He is the local researcher for Tri-State Area Skeptics, known as TASK.
That's Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge.
Oh, I have an
you know.
Hey, how about Tri-State Area Skeptics?
There's an ugly ring to the word skeptic to some people.
They're in Northern Kentucky, actually.
All right, let's talk to Frank. What's going on, Frank? How you doing, bro? What's going on, Frank? Hey, Frank.
I just don't see how you can compare us to being fish on the hooks for aliens. I just tuned in. I called once before about the stadium deal and the taxes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember me or not.
Oh, yeah.
But once in a while, I tune in. I stay up late, and I just don't see the comparison there because of intelligent life forms. I mean, if any kind of aliens are going to conduct themselves in any kind of way that they could actually make it here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me put it to you this way.
If they can
way,
make
Frank,
it here, they can make it anywhere.
Yeah, I'm following you so far, Frank, but let me put it this way. Let's say you're the planet Earth, and you've been around for, what, how many billion years? 4 billion years.
4.5.
4.5 billion years you've been spinning around. And in that amount of time, you went from nothing but a big hunk of rock and water to having all these people living on it, you know, having big-time wrestling and Major League Baseball and building stadiums and stuff. Okay? In that amount of time, 4 billion years. But the universe itself has been around how long?
Oh, easily 12 to 13.
12 to 13 billion years. So these aliens could have possibly had a 8 to 10 billion year head start on us. So if we go that far in 4 billion years, in 8 billion years, they could go maybe twice as far and be like Klingons are to us now.
I mean, that's like making them almost like godlike or something.
Well, no, because God's been around for more than the 65 billion years.
Yeah,
God's probably been around for a couple trillion years.
And God, gosh, he's done a great job with
plus
this
plus, he's God, so he can do whatever the hell he wants.
That's right. He's not answerable to us.
Yeah, he doesn't fit into the equation because he's beyond all that. Are you with me so far, Frank?
I just tuned in for a second there, and I heard that, and I was just like...
Well, it was a relative comparison. We're not really fish,
What started this? Because, most of the conversation that's on here is, I know this is usually sports, and that's what I was talking about before.
Well, March 13th...
But, I mean, how did this get this started? I didn't tune in early. How did this get started?
March 13th in Arizona... Hundreds of people saw UFOs, and dozens of them videotaped it, and we're looking for answers.
Huh. But,
geez.
The fishhook theory, that one got me there.
Well, that's not an original. I stole that from somebody.
Yeah, but it is sports-oriented.
Did I steal from you?
Maybe, but it's sports-oriented.
Yeah, it's kind of sports-oriented.
Yeah.
Okay,
how about this? Say you're a pigeon and you fly into Yankee Stadium and Dave Winfield throws a ball at you and kills you. You don't really know what's going on, just like if you're abducted.
That's a pigeon.
That's life as a pigeon.
They don't sit there. They don't make a living. They don't sit there and budget their money. They don't sit there and
they got to know, do I swim? Do I make baby fish?
Here, let's put it to you this way. Let's say you're a cork mite. You know, one of those little tiny microscopic bugs, and you live in cork and you do nothing but you eat cork, and all of a sudden your whole world is just shattered and you don't know why. It's really because Chris Sabo used your bat today, but you don't know that. You're just a wood mite. You following me so far? Are you with me?
I do more than just eat on things and just, like, I don't know. That's totally different to me. I don't know.
You're getting pretty cocky there, Frank. You're thinking you're pretty advanced, aren't you?
What's that?
You're thinking you're pretty advanced. You're thinking you're at the height of civilization.
Well, actually,
I could say you're one of those bacteria that lives in saliva.
You can categorize that in all different forms of our civilization here on Earth.
And all of a sudden, there's hurricane force winds all around you, but you don't know what's going on. You don't know that you're on the side of Gaylord Perry's baseball.
Mm-mm-mm.
Are you with me so far? You know, the bacteria lives in spit? All right. Well, thanks for your call, Frank.
All right.
You're going to call us next week, aren't you?
Within the next couple of weeks, I'm sure.
All right, good.
All right,
it wouldn't be a show without you, Frank.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. I love it when people call me buddy.
Oh, you're stretching there at the end. You're going too far.
What, with that whole spit thing?
Yeah, you always say that to me. Whenever you try to do something more than once, you always tell me, oh, you're stretching, you're trying too hard.
Who's more famous?
I know you were trying way too hard.
Gaylord Perry. I couldn't really think.
Oh, you were just trying way
Ryan
too
used
hard.
To chop up the ball a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, you were just trying way too hard. Now just stop it. You're just trying way too hard. You're embarrassing yourself.
Different Frank. Hey, Frank, you're on.
Yeah, right. We got two guys named Frank in Cincinnati. What's going on, Frank?
Well, I just tuned in. I don't know if you guys already brought this up or not, but today is June 24th, or was a few hours ago.
Right.
The anniversary of Kenneth Arnold seeing the saucers over Mount Rainier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. How could we forget Kenneth Arnold and Mount Rainier?
Yeah, he saw 9 silvery disks skipping over the peaks of the Cascade Mountain.
And wasn't that one of the first most famous UFO sightings from the golden age of UFO
it
sightings?
It was a watershed event. However, the Air Force did record at least a dozen previous sightings to June 24th, but those were mostly commercial and military pilots, which, of course, increases the credibility of those reports as well, because these were trained observers. But yeah, June 24th is the 50th anniversary of the coining of the phrase flying saucer as well.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
It's also St. John's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And St. John, of course, is the patron saint of
locusts and fire. Fire in the sky and locusts.
It's also some kind of holiday up in Quebec, but I don't know what the holiday is. Do you, Rob?
I heard Marty
it's Canada Day,
it.
Isn't it? Canada Day?
Marty and Joe were talking, because the Reds are playing in Montreal, and they beat Montreal in extra innings tonight. On a Willie Green home run, or something like it.
Montreal.
And Montreal's having a holiday today, or yesterday, too. So
let's call France.
Let's call France.
We're going to call Quebec. We don't have time for this.
Thanks for your call, Frank.
Sure.
Call us next week.
All right.
Well, this has been another edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
Let's get Geddy Lee on the phone immediately and find out what the hell's going on.
I'm Rob.
What? Don't tell me what to do. You're trying too hard.
I'm Chris, and you're
Rob. You're trying too hard again.
And
you're trying to show off
again. And we'll be back next week with another scintillating program, and until then...
What about you? Hey, Terry, got any final thoughts on this whole UFO thing before we go? Chris?
You have a question, Chris?
I was just wondering...
I got it all figured out, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's that?
Mass hallucinations.
Oh, that's an easy cop out. That's an easy cop out. That doesn't take any thinking. That doesn't take any investigation.
Look, somebody put something in the water in Arizona that week. Okay?
Yeah, you think
and
so?
Everybody started tripping.
Now yeah. Well, what about people who don't drink water?
Okay, Terry, do you have a number where if somebody wants to get in contact with you and wants something researched
let me give you the website address.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, hold on. We're going to write this down.
I'll do this real slow.
Okay, www.
http://.
Where's the W's at?
Home.net.
Home.net.
I'm sorry, home.fuse.net.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
How do you spell fuse?
F-U-S-E.
Home.fuse.net/task/. Do you have any of those little snake-looking things? Any of those
None of that kind of stuff. It's not that confusing.
Okay, anything else you'd like to add about UFOs before
you bust out of
this furnace?
It's probably...
What were those things sighted in Arizona on March 13th, 1997?
They were UFOs. There's no explanation for that. They not necessarily alien spaceships.
Well, that's
but they
why we got
UFOs.
Together and did all this for the last 2 hours.
Well,
that's
you heard
why we
the,
wasted all those
You heard these guys too. You heard these guys too. What do you make of it?
I think it was a mass hallucination. Cause somebody put something in the water.
Yeah. Okay, you sound like a debunker.
No, I feel like you have to have an open mind, but at the same time, you have to be skeptical and be responsible to your open mind.
That's true. Nope, no problem with that. Agree with you.
Well, thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch us next week. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show right here on WAIS in Cincinnati.